on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Hi, everybody. It's Rick Kogan filling in for John Williams. I was worried about that song for a second. I'm thinking, man, is this even a Christmas song? What is this song? It is a Christmas song because it's the annual Rick Kogan Around Christmas Time show with Father John Cusick, formerly of Old St. Pat's. John has done the remarkable thing today. He came in dressed like a normal person. He had like... I don't know what to call it. The priest clothes? What is that?
Well, I slipped into my priest clothes.
You slipped in? Do you normally carry that around?
Well, it's like Superman. You know, you go, you slide in, and you get the cape.
Well, you look much more like yourself. I mean,
last time we were together, you said to me, "Do you own one of those?"
Yeah.
So I figured, well, we better let Rick, at least somebody can see it.
Yeah, it looks fabulous. We're on some kind of TV thing in here. John's going to be here for the entire fill-in segment from one. The three will be joined sometime in the 1 o'clock hour by Rich Labriola, just because his story is so inspiring. John Cusick, what is Christmas? I mean, I know that it, you know, if you spend enough time down here, it's like, wow, it's a shopping extravaganza. It is the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, and people forget that.
Right. I think that's the religious Christmas, but, you know, there's also a secular Christmas. There really is. The top 10 Christmas songs, I think, on the radio station in Chicago that broadcast from Thanksgiving, none of the top 10 were religious songs.
Well, and the other great thing about it is most of the top 10 were written by, and I'm half Jewish, by Jews.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Irving Berlin.
Absolutely. And so I've never had a problem with that. I mean, I think the festivity of the season... Yeah, but for me, obviously, I mean, it's the birth of Christ is sort of a big deal.
Yeah, it is sort of a big deal. How does a priest celebrate? I mean, traditionally, you were brought up Catholic. You would certainly go to Christmas Eve Mass and Christmas, or Christmas Day Mass, too?
Yes, this year I'll be presiding at the 11:15 Mass on Christmas Day at Old St. Pat's.
And you've done that for how many years?
Well, I've been hanging around St. Pat's. I moved down there in 1985, and I retired in, 13? And I still go back there once, twice a month to preside at Sunday Mass.
Let me ask you, you're still a young, vital 72. Yeah, you're a young, vital man. Do you miss, John, the day-to-day? I know you're still connected. In the same way that when and if I ever retire from the Tribune, I would, like, read the Tribune.
Yeah.
You were still connected, but do you miss the day-to-day?
I think a lot of the day-to-day, I mean, there's two day-to-days. The pastoral stuff where I would connect with people and people connect with me, that still continues.
Yeah.
The day-to-day when you're, I was running an office for the Archdiocese of Chicago, the Young Adult Ministry Office, and I had a staff, and you have to do all the bureaucratic stuff. I don't miss that at all.
Yeah,
you know, I haven't looked back.
Is there a sense of personal freedom involved, too?
Oh, there is, you know, but I'll be very honest with you. This is a very tough time of the year, and the proverbial wheels are coming off the proverbial cart for a lot of people. And, I mean, I got a call yesterday, a woman I've known, God, since she was a little kid. Her mother is probably in the last stages of life, and she said to her, you know, Mary Beth, call Father Cusick. You know, so I'll go see her tomorrow. And then yesterday I got a text right in the middle of something that this guy who I did his wedding and his wife got a pretty tough cancer diagnosis the day before. And those things are, they're like under the microscope during the holidays.
Yeah.
Because we've got this false notion that everything's got to be rah-rah and joyful.
When it's also the holidays combined, especially this holiday combined with the end of the year.
Right. All that stuff, you know. But So it those kind of things don't go away. People can reach me. They know how to do it. Or they'll call St. Pat's, and I'll wind up getting an email from them down there. So-and-so wants you to call them, and things like that.
One of the things for you presiding at a Christmas Day Mass, one of the fascinating things about you, Father Cusick, is you don't write these things.
Oh, I never write down I never write a word out. No, I just get up and talk. I'm like you.
What do you mean?
I
have four drinks and I can get up and talk.
Well,
but that's a remarkable thing, because I know that your sermons and your talks have not only greatly affected people, but people have found them memorable.
Well, you know, I tease when I say I just get up and talk. I really work on them. I don't have to put anything in writing. God has given me a very fertile imagination.
And a great gift, too. I got to tell you that.
And a good memory. But there are days when, I mean, I have to think of what I'm going to preach on Christmas. And that's, the bar is high at Christmas, because you have a lot of people who come to church who, you know, church is not a regular thing in their life, and I want to be super good for them.
Yeah.
Because I want to let them know that this is something of value. And in the way you do that and what people are looking for, they'll tell you, I'm looking for good preaching. So so the bar is set high on Christmas. I enjoy it. I love a challenge.
And you are the good preacher. We got to take a commercial break. Father Cusick will be here until 3 o'clock talking about all manner of things with me, Rick Cogan, filling in for John Williams. I'm going to tell you to learn how real Chicagoans live. Well, what kind of commercial is this? You listen to the two of us.
Christmas future is far away.
We're playing Christmas songs from a CD called Santa Baby. I'm Rick Cogan, filling in for John Williams. I am here until 3 o'clock with Father John Cusick, formerly of Old St. Pat's, but still a religious guy. He put on his collar. Thank you. Rich Labriola is also sitting in for a while. Rich runs one of the finest... All right, who ate at Labriola an hour ago?
I did.
Why?
Number one, I was hungry. Number two, I've been there before. Number three, the food is worth going back anytime.
Rich is also this is the grand tradition of having John Cusick and Rich Labriola. Rich, how do you celebrate Christmas?
Go to family, my brothers, go to a friend's house Christmas Day. Not too much.
I like to
get back to work.
Yeah, see, you are kind of a... Yeah, move up closer to the mic. You grew up on the south suburbs, right?
Blue Island.
What was family like? You know,
it was different then.
How so?
You know, a lot of people. You know, had 30 aunts and uncles, and it was a revolving door at the holidays. And
was it a special kind of holiday?
Yeah, it always was. I mean, just
did you go to church?
We did.
You have a priest here.
I understand.
Can't lie.
I know. I have to do confession after this.
I can see the sweat marks.
Can
on
we
his
do
forehead.
A confession? Can we do confession on the radio?
Oh, I mean, what the heck? There's only a million people listening.
I don't think we can, actually.
I don't think you want to. But he does. Rich does run the Labriola restaurant here on Michigan Avenue. There's another one in Oakbrook. And also Stan's Donuts, which
is... Yes, and there's two Labaros in the western suburbs.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Where?
Riverside and Oakbrook, right next to our cafe.
You know me, I never go west of Michigan Avenue. The thing. We're talking about John Cusick and how he is going to give a sermon. Or is it a sermon or a talk? Or what do you...
Call it what you want. That's
no, right. I want to know what it's called.
The fancy word is homily. The common word is sermon.
You have a book of a collection of some of these, don't you?
Well, I wrote a little reflection every year for years and years, and I finally put them together in a little book, and I posted them on Facebook last year and got a gazillion responses.
Why don't you read one? Would you mind?
No.
Rich Labriola and I will
sit
here.
There's a little God language in here, and I got
a little what?
Little God language, because I'm a believer.
What's God language? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you know, this is WGN.
You believe in God?
I know, and I'm going to do it.
Okay, let's take the risk.
This is a little thing I wrote called We Need Christmas. It's the one season of the year that has its own everything. Its own music, art, colors, and stories. It seems to have a most positive effect on all of us. The little kid in each one of us is just waiting to break out once again. We want to sing, to stand in awe of decorations, to give gifts, to be surprised, to make sure others are cared for, to dream of what could be. That's Christmas for me. Maybe, someday, no more war, less violence, more love, no poverty, less pain. Just maybe. We need Christmas when times are tough, when we sense the harshness of reality, when we come up against limits, when we're told to grin and bear it. We need Christmas. We need the great imagination and stories of what could be. But even more than that, we need the experience day by day of what life can be. We need Christmas. We need to realize that God is breaking forth in human life when you sense that it could be different, when you are surprised, when you are generous, when you care for others, when you fight poverty, when you value love, and when you live for change. Then God is happening in time and space. The time is now. It's our time. The space is the reality we live within each and every day. God is happening. Life will be more. It's Christmas all over again.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. Don't you think, Rich?
I thought it was great.
Even Rich and I think so. Did you go, Rich, were you raised Catholic?
Yeah, Catholic school, grade school.
Good Italian. Years.
Huh?
Good Italian.
Well, it doesn't mean automatically you run a great restaurant.
It's in your blood type, you know, when you're Italian.
Yeah. Your family was an immigrant family, were they not?
My parents were born here. My
grandparents
emigrated to, they all stopped in Blue Island and Roseland.
What did your grandparents do? Your grandfather, your grandmother probably didn't have
it. I believe he worked for the railroad.
Yeah.
In the early 20s.
And your dad ran like a storefront pizza joint.
Yes.
And that's where you learned?
So I learned how to make and eat pizza.
Well, but it's a, John, get in on this. This is three guys
I know,
in a bar.
Love,
it's like,
it, all in.
It is such a leap for me. And I wrote about your story, your life story.
Made it interesting, actually.
It's on the side of the restaurant. Right?
I know. That's why. That's great, because I can get a seat outside now, but not inside. And I think it was an inspirational story. You are... Do you think of yourself that way?
Not at all.
You really see, that's one of the nice things about you too. You've I've never seen your checkbook, and I'm sure there's a lot of coming and going in and out. But you are a self-made man. You must take some pride in that, don't you?
You know, excuse me. I very rarely look back. You know, that's why I'm not a good reminiscer, because I always want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. What I'm going to do tomorrow that was better than today. I know it sounds like a cliche, but that's why I don't look back enough to say, wow, look what I did, because...
You're moving. I mean,
yeah, that's yesterday.
You know? You're always at this place. Are the restaurants open on Christmas Day? They can't pop.
No, they're all closed Christmas.
What about the Stan's Donuts?
Those are closed also.
What?
Christmas Day. Christmas Eve are open. Actually, tomorrow, if you'll let me get a little plug in, if you don't mind, the Michigan Avenue store, 181 North Michigan, is opening tomorrow morning.
For the first time.
For the first time.
Without getting into John and I were, and Catherine were just talking about what a gold mine that's going to be.
Oh, yeah, my God. 181 North Michigan.
Right next to Nutella store.
The Nutella store.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just there. So it's a really special store because we hired the people who designed Italy, Costa Group.
Oh, wow.
Really?
And they're from Italy, obviously, and they designed the store. It looks a little bit different than the Stan's, but it's a flagship, so it's got to have a great appearance. Not the other ones have great appearances. It's a little more slick. Frying donuts there.
One of the great things about Stan's is not the first one, but the second Stan's, I think, second in Chicago, opened in the Northwestern Hospital Complex.
We have a deal with the cardiac doctors.
Why, sure.
We send each other clients all the time.
That's right. Eat three donuts, I'll get you an appointment.
We're spending
everything in moderation.
Yeah. That's right.
I know, you'd think there'd be doctors saying, get this store out of here. Instead,
they're
buying...
all in line for the donuts.
Yeah, I know.
We do sell a lot of coffee there. So,
and
donuts.
Coffee and donuts. I'm surprised you don't let people smoke in there.
Amazing you said that.
Why?
I was in a bar last night.
Yeah.
No kidding.
You would know this bar because
Richards.
My voice... yes.
Yeah,
I had no idea you could smoke in bars anymore.
Oh, there's some.
Smell smoke. I wash my hair twice.
No, Richards is pretty. Richards is pretty close to here. Yeah, isn't that something?
I couldn't believe it.
Well, who knows where this conversation is going to go? I'm in here with Rich Labriola, the restaurateur and donut mogul of Chicago, owning the Stands outlets here, and John Cusick, who came in his priest.
That's my God. Look at this.
Wear.
That was perfect.
Oh, no, if you're going to tell me you have one of these, too,
what,
I'm going to tell you.
It? No. Yeah.
They wouldn't sell you.
But I do have a great idea. Our new donut shop could use a blessing.
That's right.
Really use one.
We'll do it on the air.
I've blessed restaurants.
These guys are going to be here until they get bored and leave. I'm going to read you some commercials, then you'll get some news. Holidays and a new year bring cherished moments and smiles we capture forever. This year, we're proud to celebrate our 10th year milestone of the famous WGN Chicago personalized calendar, a favorite gift amongst our listeners. This year's calendar is completely redesigned with a fresh look and feel by our friends at 2K's. And with all new stunning photography of our beautiful city, you can personalize any name you want with authentic realism. Imagine your recipient's name and prominent landmarks creatively illustrated in every month. Available now at WGNRadio.com. Give these calendars to coworkers, friends, and your family. It's a practical and useful gift used every day of the year, something your gift recipient will always remember you by. Go to WGNRadio.com and scroll down to the featured section to order yours today. 2018 Epic Calendars for an Epic Year, and Stan's Donuts flagship store on Michigan Avenue opens tomorrow. What time?
6 a.m.,
and it'll be open all day, and I hope they don't run out of donuts. We'll be back in a minute. Hey there, it's Rick Hogan filling in for John Williams with my co-host, Father John Cusick, and restaurateur Rich Labriola. I've never done this in my lengthy, almost 20-year history on WGM, but I'm giving away stuff. For you now, I'm giving away if you can eat 1,000 Stan's donuts at one seating, you can have lunch at Labriola right afterward. Just joking. You get a seat at Old St. Pat's. We have 4 Lou Malnati's $100 gift cards to give away. We'll give them to, we're going to open the phone lines, and the great Dan Long, producer, is going to take your phone calls. The great thing is, I don't even know what the number is here. What's the number? 312-981-7200 if you want a $100 gift card. You should call and tell Dan that you have someone you love, and that someone is not in Chicago. They're away or for the holidays, or they're in prison somewhere and you can't see them, or they're in a mental institution somehow, and you will be able, we will get them a $100 Lou Malnati's Taste of Chicago gift card. You can send them pizza, Eli's Cheesecake, Nuts on Clark, all sorts of things. Dan Long will handle that. And if he thinks one of you should come on the air and talk to me about it, be my guest. I do hope I get the convict on the air. John Cusick and Rich Labriola. John, are you going to really bless the new Stan's store?
I can do whatever you need. I'm a multi-purpose. I'm a multi-purpose.
They're
going to
walk down the street and bless the store.
Sure, I'm a multi-purpose guy, Rick.
Would this be your biggest store?
So far, yes.
Yeah.
Biggest store, best location, we think.
It was a long time in coming, right? I don't need to know all the reasons for that because you're the businessman, but it took a while. That Stan's sign has been up for a few months, right?
Hey, a lot of people thought it was next spring now. So people said, don't put in spring. I'm like, nah, we'll be okay. And then at least it's open tomorrow. And then next week, next Saturday, we're doing our typical big grand opening, which is one person will win donuts for life. Next Saturday, the 30th.
What could that mean, donuts for life?
So it's a dozen of our best donuts.
Every day?
Once a month for life.
Okay, not someone could come in and have like 5 donuts every day forever.
So we make this golden donut, and whoever picks the box with the golden donut wins, and we take care of them once a month for
like
the rest of their life.
Like Willy Wonka, like the chocolate factory. You don't have things like that in religion, do you?
The Catholic Church is pretty good at fundraising, so it...
John, you mentioned earlier...
They may need a gold donut.
You mentioned earlier, and I'm fascinated with it, that there are lots and lots of people who are not regular churchgoers.
Sure.
who think, okay, why do they make a point of going at Christmas time? It's not, I'm going to make a leap here. It's not that, oh, yeah, I love to celebrate Jesus' birthday. It's got to be more complex. Are they looking for, what are they looking for?
You know, I think there's a religious identity that is a part of people's DNA. If they want once a year, twice a year, that's all fine with me. You know, one of the great problems around Christmas is when my profession, my colleagues get up and they slap people's hands. They'll say something at the end of Mass like, well, we want to let you know that we're here next week and every week all year. Mm. Well, that's why people don't come. You know, don't treat me like I'm an alien, you know. I think if people want to come once a year, God bless them.
Wow.
The burden is on me, not on them. It's on me to give people a quality hour and 15 minutes.
Sort of a reason for coming.
Absolutely. I don't have a problem with, you know, I don't judge except myself. You know, did I live up to my own expectations today?
Yeah.
Did I give it the best shot I can? Remember, it's one of those things that my dad has passed on to me. John, whatever you do, give it your best. And it's a plague. You know, and I'm sure Rich in the food business, same thing. You give it your best. You know, whether you've got somebody over there slopping pasta or making donuts. I want excellence.
Has to be.
Exactly. You know, and I'm driven by that. I have been all my life. And
it's interesting you mentioned your dad, because he's done some. I'm going to have you in the next hour read some stuff you've written about your dad. Rich, what lessons? I'm not thinking about, you know, at this time of year, you do get into this real familial stuff. I mean, many of my memories are around my father and mother and house. Not all of them great, mind you, but it's about people who are not around anymore. Rich, what lesson? Your father ran that, you know, storefront pizza place. What did he must have taught you a great deal about hard work, yeah?
You know, it's, excuse me, it's strange because I look back and wonder, you know, how I am who I am, which I think I'm respectful to everybody, and I never really had to be told to be respectful. Though it was really just you watch your parents and how they treat people, and that's how you treat people. And you know, if you have to, you know, have to tell someone to be nice, then it's really not inherently in them. And so I feel that that's how I go about, you know, every single day. Just watching, really, it was watching them act, how they interacted with people, and it was always, you know, very nice and very respectful.
John, is that true for you too?
Oh yeah, I mean it's. This is the way I was raised, and what bothers me to no end is when you see someone, and of course, in a big city like Chicago, in the course of one afternoon, you see the world go by. When you see people, particularly moms, yelling at their kids in public, it's fingernails down the blackboard. You don't yell at your kids in public.
Yeah,
you know, it's maybe privately you want to have a little conversation, but you figure what goes on all the time. That it can we can be better than that. And that's, I'm driven by that. You know, I know what we got. How do we make it better? How do you ramp it up? I think that's very important.
I know you brought some donuts in here and you brought me my special gift. I got to believe, Rich Labriola, that gift certificates and donuts are like a big gift item, yes?
Yes, yeah, gift cards. for sure this time of year. Restaurant gift cards are all good.
I'm going to read something to you guys, if you don't mind. It is a column by, for those of you going out shopping, it's a column. It's pretty sexist, but Mike Royko wasn't sexist. I think you, Rich Labriola, and you, John Cusick, will love this. We'll take a short break, and then I will read you a Royko gift-giving kind of guide.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, riding down Santa Claus Lane. Blitzen, blitzen, all here's a reindeer.
Welcome back. It's Rick Coogan and his co-host, Rich Labriola, and Father John Cusick, one of the three musketeers of Christmas time. I'm filling in for John Williams until 3 o'clock. We have offered these four Lou Monatti $100 gift cards to give away to anyone who has a loved one or a friend or a, I don't know, a stranger not in Chicago, and they want to have Lou Monatti send them some pizza and Eli's cheesecake and other stuff. We have them all, and we're going to talk to two of them. Let's start with Sonny. You have a twin in Arizona who you're not going to see. Is that the story?
That is. Our birthday is on Christmas Eve.
Oh.
And she moved to, it's my twin sister, and she moved to Arizona a few years ago, and we haven't been able to spend our birthday together ever since. So.
Well, you guys are healthy and everything. You just don't feel
thank God.
You're just
thank
sick
God.
Of seeing each other, right? You're just sick of each you're just sick of each other, right? Well, don't you think? Yeah, but Sonny, if you still live in Chicago, wouldn't Arizona be a nice place to go for Christmas Eve?
Of course it would. But we weren't able to travel this year, so
that's,
I'm not going to be able to be with her.
Well, she'll be. Don't tell her. She'll be thrilled when she gets this Lou Monatti's thing. Don't you think? She like.
Oh my gosh, she is going. Her and her husband are going to be so excited. It's what a birthday and a Christmas gift I could give her. She's going to be so happy.
Good. Well, I'm glad we were able to provide you with a birthday and a Christmas gift. Sonny, have a great, great holiday, all this holiday, will you please?
You too. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Now, we got a person named Mary whose son-in-law is in the Navy. Where's your son-in-law, Mary?
Well, my son-in-law just came back from Japan. My daughter and their little daughter, Molly, who is two, just came back from Japan. They're settling in Maryland.
Oh, nothing better to have than Eli's cheesecake and Lou Monatti's pizza. Uh-oh. But you have another connection to the show, don't you?
I do. Well, I do to Jen Cusack. Yes, I do.
Well, he's one of the co-hosts of the show now.
Ta-da.
Right, that's right.
What's
Hi,
your
Jen. My son, John, was an altar boy for you at Mary's Seat of Wisdom.
Oh, my goodness. That must have been my older brother. I'm teasing.
Well, actually, my son died 4 years ago. But,
oh, may his
sorry.
God's peace. Sorry about that.
I'm sure he is, and, you know, faith gets you through that stuff. But
at
any rate, my daughter Lisa, you married my daughter Lisa at Old St. Pat.
Wow.
She sent you a picture of her with as First Communion. You also gave her a First Communion.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God.
And I'm not kidding.
And now you're going to tell me that she eats every day at Stan's Donuts, too, right?
Oh, well, no. She's in Maryland. She wasn't doing that. And she's totally organic, so no, she wouldn't do that. But, you know,
wow.
Unfortunately. But anyway, she wrote you a letter, and she sent you a picture of her in her First Communion veil.
Oh,
I don't know
goodness.
If you remember. But she said she begged you to do, you know, her wedding, because I know you were it's very much in demand. So, at any rate, you did their wedding. You performed their wedding. The homily was fabulous. It happened to be on Memorial Day weekend, and Kerry was in his dress uniform. And so you said something about you don't know how they pulled strings, but they even had a parade for their wedding. It was
That's
great.
Right. He had the, if not mistaken, he had the honor guard right outside the door when they came down
he
the
did.
Aisle.
All right. How do you remember this?
Because I'm old. I can't remember today, but I can remember weddings.
Well, Mary,
yeah,
John
was so much in demand for weddings. I'm amazed that he can remember any of them.
He can squeeze them in when it's important. And you sound like a nice person with a nice family. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and that's just what a connection. What a small, wonderful town Chicago can be.
I know. And I'm going to Mass at Old St. Pat's. I recently moved back from Galena to Woodstock, and I'm driving downtown to go to Old St. Pat's for Christmas Mass. So.
That's right. I have the 11:15 on Christmas morning.
So
I'll be there.
Sleep, get one of the back pews, just go to sleep and wake up Christmas morning and hear Father Cusick. Mary, thanks a lot. We're happy to make you happy with this Lou Monatti's gift card. And I'm sure your friends will be happy,
thank
too.
You so much.
Sure.
Love to your daughter and and her family.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You want to hear this, you guys? Roy Kilcullen?
Yes.
Okay, ready? Early in our marriage, I bought my wife a fur coat as a Christmas gift. She'd never owned so splendid a coat, and the first time she wore it on a windy and frigid Chicago day, she marveled at how warm it kept her. Well, the next Christmas, she opened my gift box, peeled back the white wrapping paper, and took out the garment I'd selected. Then her jaw dropped and she looked at me with a strange look. Long underwear? She said, yep, the genuine article, one-piece long johns. Notice that the back has a flap. Long underwear? How unoriginal. I told her, well, last Christmas you liked the fur coat. Said it kept you warm, so I figured I'd get you something that would keep you warm on all kinds of occasions. Plus, you don't have to put it in storage in the summer. Yes, she said, it is practical. I will say that. How thoughtful of you. But the rest of the holiday season, I noticed something that troubled me just a little as we would gather with friends and someone would say, was Santa good to you? She would nod and say, oh, yes, Mike got me long underwear, the genuine article, one piece, and a flap in the back. Then the woman in the group would stare at me and begin giggling, and the giggling would grow into laughter. And I'd find myself babbling. Well, I didn't get it in an Army-Navy store, you know. It came from a real nice boutique kind of place, and it is warm. Go on, tell them how warm it is. Yes, she would say, it is very warm. I was reminded of this when I read about a man who had a toilet built as a birthday gift for his wife at their golf club because she'd complained about the back nine lacking such a facility. While a bit ostentatious, it was practical. In fact, I can't think of any more practical gift than a toilet. Although it might have saved a few bucks. He might have saved a few bucks by opting for a porta potty or even a year's supply of Depends. The man's golfing wife was pleased. As she said, gifts should reflect the fact that this is an important relationship. And a toilet surely does reflect the importance of a relationship, is why most households have at least one. In some fancy suburbs, a man's wealth is measured by how many toilets he has. But what is the general response to this man's originality and practicality? He is the target of mirth and ridicule. Disc jockeys, talk show hosts, and other low sorts all babbled about it. On her radio show, the vivacious Vicky Truax revealed that her husband, dear old friend of mine, the late Tim Weigel, once bought her a stovetop popcorn popper as a Christmas gift. That touching and intimate detail of their love life was greeted with gales of laughter. But why? For someone who loves popcorn as she does, sometimes gobbling down an entire cornfield in one sitting, what could be more caring than your own stovetop popcorn popper? The scornful reaction to useful gifts just shows that there is scant appreciation in this bauble, jewelry-loving society for men who have a practical nature. There's nothing so easy as buying a bauble, some trinket that a giddy female can dangle from her wrist, ankle, ear, or, as popular in the young barbarian set, from a hole in their nose. It takes thought and imagination to buy a woman her own toilet, long underwear, or a stovetop popcorn popper. I recall Slats Grobnik talking about the hurt he felt when his wife yelled at him. One Christmas morning she yelled, how could you buy me an ironing board for Christmas? An ironing board. Poor Slat said, I'm sorry. What did you want? A new mop? What do you guys do? What, John, I'm sure as a priest at Old St. Pat's, you would get a lot of different Christmas presents.
I could open a Cubs store.
Yeah.
I have every Cubs trivia, paraphernalia, book, hat, shirt that has ever been made. And after a while, you know, you got to be polite and say thank you. If you got to, after a while, you'd love to say, enough is enough.
What do you give?
I work hard on gift giving. I really do. Because to me, I'm giving something special to a person. And it just can't be go to Walgreens and grab something.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Living Rich's restaurant today. The line in Pandora on the corner was just, there had to be 30 people.
Wow.
You know, let's grab a bobble. And they're all well-intentioned.
Yeah.
But it's very, very important to me. Like this year, for example, and I know these little kids won't be listening, I have my cousin's daughter has got five kids. And the youngest, it was her birthday, was yesterday or the day before, and older her are four boys. Well, they love sports. So I called a friend of mine, and I'm getting her husband and the four boys 5 tickets to the Blackhawks.
Oh, wow.
Because nice. They love it, and they can't afford to go.
Yeah.
You mean 5 kids, you're lucky you could pay the parking, never mind getting in the building.
Sure.
So I really think, and I spend a lot of time in thinking about people, and I find something that I think speaks to me about who they are.
Well, nothing speaks to the general public in Chicago more articulately and lovingly than a box of Stan's donuts.
Absolutely.
I think that's the thing. We will talk after the news to Rich Labriola for a good solid half hour. Then I'll let him go back and run his business. And then I'm going to have my friend Father John Cusick read a couple things about his dad on the air. So please stay tuned. We're going straight to news, right? Yes. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio and tune in. Maybe there's a commercial before the news. Here it is.
Come, fatal.
Welcome back to the next hour of the John Williams Show with me, Rick Kogan. That $100 Luminati's Taste of Chicago gift card was being sent to loved ones away from home. Comes with pizza, other Windy City favorites like Eli's Cheesecake, Nuts on Clark, and much more. If you want one of these, you just go to lou2go.com. These went out to Sunny, who has a twin in Arizona and for some strange reason wants to spend her time in Chicago during the winter. They're both born on Christmas Eve. And Mary, whose son-in-law is in the Navy, just got back from Japan. He's in Maryland now. And her son or somebody was an altar boy for my guest, John Cusick. And then John married her daughter. What a small, wonderful world. The other winner was fellow named Steve, whose son and daughter just moved to Florida and are homesick for Chicago food, not so homesick for the weather. And Mike, 630, who has a cousin in the armed services who just shipped out overseas. I am lucky enough to live in a town that counts as its great people. John Cusick, former priest at Old St. Patrick's. And Rich Labriola, who runs 4 restaurants in the Chicago area, my favorite one about stumbling distance from the Tribune Tower, and also Stan's Donuts. Rich, if you could, you were out, you had started Labriola Bread Company on a shoestring, did you not? Because you were fascinated with bread.
Yes. 2 shoestrings. I had saved up about... I was distributing for a bakery, and over the course of 2 years, I had saved up about $35,000.
Wow. And you started your own?
I got a loan from the bank, and then built the bakery, and started out of my car. I think we talked about that a little bit before.
Yeah, that story is great. Your aunt, I think, was having a birthday party for your uncle, and she said, drive up to, Elmwood Park or someplace. And
my uncle brought the bread.
Yeah.
And he...
And you had never tasted... I mean, it was like what we know now is Italian bread, but you're a South Sider, South Suburban guy who'd never had it before.
We didn't have bread like that down there, so...
Maybe you said, like, Wonder Bread or
something. Yeah, yeah. And, it was 1990. Was young.
And you were working as a meter reader, right?
Yeah, I was asked to leave.
Invited to change careers.
Yes. The great, John, I know Rich's story too. It just is one of the great, following your passion. Mm-hmm. And then talk to me about Stan's, because Stan's has been a phenomenon. There's a guy in California named Stan who makes donuts.
Yeah, Stan Berman. So I saw him on a Travel Channel show probably 10, 11 years ago. There's actually 10 donut guys on there, and he just, for some reason, intrigued me the most. And I called him up, and he answered the phone, and was a great guy, and went out to visit him, talked a little bit. And I think what sealed the deal for me was he had the same slimline phone on his wall that my dad had in his pizza business.
Wow.
And, it's 50, 40 years old, however those slimline phones on the wall are.
Yep. Yeah.
And I don't know if that was why I grabbed it. He's a genuinely good soul.
He initially didn't want to do it. He said, I don't need, he was famous in L.A.
Yeah.
And said, I don't know, what do I need to franchise for? I'm doing fine here, right?
Yeah, he's got a great living. I mean, he's 88 years old now.
Wow.
I think what happened was everybody has come to him over the last 50 years and said, I want to do it. And then most people who aren't in the business or in the bakery business don't realize how hard it is. So they want to own a business like that. They don't want to work in it.
Oh.
So, and his whole family, some of them had tried it, unfortunately had failed. Because they you know, when you're not a baker or in the restaurant business, you don't know how hard it is, and it's just a lot of work. It consumes your life. I mean, it really does. But that's why you have to love it, because if you're going to consume your life, you may as well like it.
Oh, so, you're right. That is interesting. Don't you think, John?
Well, it's also real early hours. I mean, you're in the bakery business. It's the middle of the night.
Time to make the donuts. That commercial is very true.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
And so we, you know, I had a baking company at that time, and
yeah,
we just kind of, I was, you know, busy on growing that, and so kind of lost touch. And then 5 years ago, reconnected with him, and it was, you know, it's funny how things work out, and I think people realize that there's no such thing as overnight success. You know, our success at Stan's has been 20 years of successes and failures in the baking business.
Yeah.
And I learned just as much from succeeding as I do from failing. So, that's the overnight success is 20 years later. So we opened, we had a better plan this time around. We would open it 10 years ago. I don't think we would have success.
Really?
Because I had a different plan. And the plan that I had 10 years ago, honestly, I look back, wasn't very good.
Let me ask you about this place, the La Briola in the 535 North Michigan Avenue building. That was, I don't want to know what the rent is there. John Cusick and his friend Catherine had lunch there today and loved the place. And because you've been there a number of times and love it, it was certainly expensive to build out from a Subway store and a Popeye's shop that used to be there. Were you worried that first year? Because I was in there pretty frequently, and it really wasn't very crowded. If I were the owner of the place, I would have been worried. Were you?
Yeah, of course. We're worried of how do we get the word out? How do we have a product people want to come and see? And I think, the first year was very tough. We opened in January. There was a blizzard 2 days after we opened. But you know, you can't use that as an excuse. Weather happens to everybody. We're not unique in that way. But I think the only positive that can come from that is you really learn who your clientele is and what they want. And I think you've seen in the beginning, we've vastly changed. If you're not willing
to change. Oh, you changed that menu a number of times.
Well, I think I remember hearing once that in the restaurant business, you have to give it 3 years.
Yeah.
Yet that don't expect to be backing the Brinks truck up in 7 months.
No, and if you're not willing to change and ask people what they want, then you're in big trouble. And we are always willing to change. I mean, even remember that area where Stan's Donuts is at the restaurant on Michigan Avenue was not a Stan's
before. Right,
and
right.
We flipped the switch to be a Stan's, and it's highly successful now.
We're going to talk more with Rich Labriola about get him out of here so he can go back to his restaurant at 2:30 to clean up or do the dishes or whatever he does at 2:30.
It's for the way you look.
Welcome back. Rick Kogan filling in for John Williams with his co-hosts, Father John Cusick and Rich Labriola, the two best co-hosts in the history of WGN Radio, frankly. We're talking to Rich about his restaurant, Labriola, in the 535 North Michigan Avenue building. Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, is the opening of the long-awaited Stan's Donuts at 181, is that right?
181 North Michigan.
181 North Michigan, next to the incomprehensibly popular Nutella store. I'm like, people are waiting to get into this place? What do they serve there? It's just like what?
I think Nutella.
Nutella on bread, Nutella on hamburgers, Nutella on
anything.
I don't get it. And that lines to that place have been incredible.
Great, great. It's great for us, too.
And it's it is good for you because people go, well, I'd rather have one of these donuts.
Rich mentioned something in the last segment which it's still stuck in my head, and that is the price he's paid through hard work to get where he's at.
Yeah.
And I've been a firm believer all my life, maybe it's the ethic that's been put in me, you have to pay your dues. And so the other day, Rich, I'm listening to the radio, and they talked about somebody who had a couple bitcoins, and all of a sudden now they're multi-gazillionaires. And I'm thinking, no, that's not how the game is played. You go out and you bust your butt, you pay your dues, do what you need to do, work hard, and see what happens.
Well, I mean, I eat enough at La Briola to see. I mean, I'd see Rich there all the time if he's not asking. The way we met is, I think, and maybe apocryphal, he came up to me, I'm having lunch, he goes, how's lunch? And I said, it's really good. I like these Rich La Briola burgers. And he said, how about a donut? And I said, well, I don't really eat donuts for dessert at lunch. It's a breakfast thing. So I met him. He's there all the time. You just go from place to place to place.
I do.
Your day, isn't it?
Yes, going from restaurant to restaurant.
Why is that important to you?
You see things. When you have managers who have a job to do, which is run the restaurant, run the employees. But as the owner, you get to walk in. You don't have a duty, so you get to see things that they can't see because they're busy doing their job. It's not that they don't want to see it. It's not that they're bad managers. They're just busy with something else. I get to go in as an extra set of eyes and see the good and point out point out something that needs to be worked on.
Right.
So, I was down at the donut shop before we came here, and I'll be back at pointing out some things we need to do. There's a lot of people working hard. You have to respect they have their job to do. And if they miss something, it's not because they don't want to see it.
That is really an interest, don't you think, Jim?
That's a great point. Rich, when I lived at Old St. Pat's, we were the last building before the Kennedy Expressway.
Yeah.
You go over the bridge, and it's Halsted, and it's Greek Town. And, of course, I'd go over there quite a bit for lunch, and I'd bring my staff. But what always amazed me, you can go to any one of those Greek restaurants, and someone from the family is always in there.
They're usually by the register in the Greek place.
Exactly. I think that they get about 25 feet away, and then that's about it. But I give them credit, nobody messes with their money.
Well, this is a good neighborhood for that, because Sam Sianis, the owner of the Billy Goat Empire now, I mean, Sam's now in his 80s, but only a few years ago, you'd go in there at 7 o'clock, he'd be the guy cleaning the grill.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you go, Sam, why don't you just go, you could go to Greece, you could retire. He doesn't want to do it.
Now you've got, he's got you selling beer.
I'm not selling, radio.
Yeah.
Nothing like a Stan's Donuts with a Billy Goat beer, yeah.
Hey, that's true. Even actually on our new store, I think we are, I don't know if any other coffee shop / donut shop that has as many handles of cold brew coffee. We have 10 handles, meaning 10 varieties of cold brew on this big tap system, like a beer tap system.
You're kidding.
Yeah, we have Dark Matter, we have Absento, we have Stumptown, we have La Colombe.
Is that new to Chicago? I've never seen that before.
Cold brew is becoming popular. It's really good. If you ever drink cold brew coffee, it's very smooth. It's got more caffeine, which most people like. But we believe that that's kind of the future of coffee. Now, obviously, it's more refreshing in the summertime, but we committed to having that, and I don't know of anybody in the city of Chicago has that many.
John Cusick, have you ever seen that anywhere? I never have.
No, I'm a hot
caffeine. Yeah, I am too, but I would have noticed it. That's a good idea.
I'll have to try it. I mean, it's
really good. It's really smooth.
Yeah, it's just conditioning. I drink my hot coffee in the morning and my cold caffeine and diet pop in the afternoon.
But that's your afternoon drink.
That's your afternoon donut. And you've got to start a new trend of having afternoon donuts. Where did you find, and not to get too into the weeds on this, where did you discover that? Because it's new to me.
It's been around for a while.
In Chicago?
Yeah. But the on tap is relatively new.
Yeah.
Some companies are doing it, but we want to be kind of a leader in it. And I'm excited about it because I'm not necessarily a coffee lover.
Right.
But I am a cold brew coffee lover. And so if it can convert me into really looking forward to coffee, I think it can convert a lot of people who think they don't like coffee because I don't like anything with a lot of bitterness. And it's very smooth, not a lot of bitterness at all.
What an interesting thing.
Double the caffeine doesn't hurt.
That would actually make me, I love donuts, but it would make me try the place. And now maybe you can put Starbucks out of business.
That'll be the next.
Yeah, sure. Cold brew. You're excited about this place?
I'm so excited about it.
You got to be a little nervous about something.
No, I've been nervous for 6 months waiting to open it. I'm excited about tomorrow morning and just having people see. People are walking in the door. We're not open yet, but they're so excited about just seeing what it looks like because it looks totally different than anything we've ever done because we always have the need to kind of one-up yourself. It's not easy to do. You got to recreate it and do better than the last one,
Rich, you're really an inspiration. I mean, not only are you a good guy, but I just really like the way you have led your business life. I don't know anything about your private life except you are now a fan of Richard's Bar on Grand Avenue. God, yes. God help you. But I'm so glad you could come in, and thanks for the booze, and just thanks for running a great restaurant.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me.
No, you're a good guy. When you're going to La Briola on 535 North Michigan Avenue, if it's not freezing outside, there's a story of mine on the outside of the restaurant,
yes,
that Rich inspired me, John. It was like, he was on the same show you were about a year ago, and it's an inspirational story.
I'm going to put a burning candle next to the article.
That would be awesome. Yeah,
you're going to do that. Burning candle next to the article.
Right.
Bless the new Stan's Donuts.
Yeah. See?
And we're all set. Rich, have a great,
yes,
great Christmas.
Thank you.
And
Merry
I
Christmas.
Know you,
Thank
I know you'll
great.
Be working,
we'll be in touch.
Working
you.
Your tail
okay.
off. Yes, this I've played matchmaker.
That's
on the
right.
show with
yeah.
these two characters.
He's marrying me next time.
Good luck.
Not marrying me.
I better be there. I better
be
there. I want to meet that girl.
I want to watch for lightning.
Huh? Don't worry. You've already baptized a certain child of someone's,
that's right,
and you warned
that's
it
right.
then.
Jingle bells are jingling, the streets are white with snow.
Sounds like the kind of
the
Christmas song they play at 3:30 in the a.m. at a bar somewhere.
I'm sure.
Thanks for listening to me, Rick Cogan, filling in for John Williams. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, all of you, because I'm not on my regular Sunday show on Christmas Eve, nor on New Year's Eve. I have a few more minutes with my dear friend John Cusick. He and I have made a sort of a tradition of this.
We have now, yeah.
Co-hosting Christmas time shows. I don't think it's damaged anybody. I asked you specifically if you'd come on and read maybe a little something. You've been writing, you write a lot on Facebook, but you've been doing some recent writing about your dad. Why, John? What's the seed of that?
Well, I was 25 when my father died, and that's
yeah.
a long, long time ago. And I think what happens to many of us when we lose someone whom we love, that the grief thing never goes away. You learn to live with it. And part of what I learned to live with is that things came back into my head that I remember my dad telling me for some reason. And I just sort of filed them, and about 30-some years ago, I got the idea, well, why don't you write about it? So I wrote them down on a page, and I still found a piece of paper I wrote them on, and I just decided since I retired, craft some words around them and see. And they've been very life-giving, and it's tribute to a very ordinary guy. You know, my dad was not in anything, but he worked for the Rock Island Railroad, you know, and he'd stop and have a shot and a beer on the way home. And he didn't do much anything, but he wasn't ordinary to me. And so I remembered some of the things, and I put them, and I sent them to you so that you could get an idea of what I'm up to.
No, it couldn't have been more impressed or touched.
And they
either.
Were, you know, they're things that have really affected my life. They are part. I probably learned more from 8 sentences that he said than I did years in a classroom. But we all could say that, you know.
No,
that,
I don't think we. Nah, you know, I don't think we all can.
Well, a lot of people can. You know that they can do that. But I had fun putting them together, and there's one great Christmas story though, which I'd like to share with you, and that is, it was the annual journey of I'm an only child that my mother and father and I would go to get the Christmas tree. And my mother is was of the Germanic background, so everything had to be damn near perfect. So we got in the car. We had a 56 Buick, never forget it, and we drove out Western Avenue to Crescent Landscaping. It was about 105th, 106th, or 107th in Western, and they had a big empty lot, Christmas tree lot. So we got out of the car, my mom and dad and I, and mother would lead the parade up and down the rows of Christmas trees. And we would go up and down once, and we'd go up and down twice, and we'd go back towards the street where the car is parked. And my mother makes an announcement. They don't have any good trees. So my father, being a little wry sense of humor and sarcasm wrapped in one, he turned around, and he looked at the entire Christmas tree lot. And he scanned it a couple times, and he said, Florence, the man must have 1,000 Christmas trees. You mean he has 1,000 bad trees. Well, that did it. My mother went off like a rocket. My dad got in the car. He wasn't going to get out of the car no matter where we went. And so we get in the car. No one's talking. And we go to the next place. Dad would not get out. And I got to get out with my mother. And all she do is crabbing about my father. And I think we went. They had no good trees either. And then we went to a third place. Well, we finally got the tree, but it almost broke up the marriage over a stinking lousy Christmas tree because it had to be just perfect. And my father could care less. He could go with the Royco Christmas tree.
Yeah, right,
you know,
right,
that's just patch a few things together and it'll look good. But that's the kind of guy he was. He was just an ordinary guy. And but I remember one thing, Rick, that I wrote, and maybe I'll just share that with you.
I would be honored.
It's the one I told you about the swimming pool.
Yes.
I was only 9 or 10 years old, and this is, I'll read it as I got it here. Around the age 9 or 10, I discovered swimming and adventure both at the same time. I was a real urban kid. I lived in an apartment building until age 5, and then we transitioned into a 3-flat with a cement backyard. There was not a lot of green space. There was an alley behind our garage, and that too was concrete. And as little kids, we played baseball in that alley. 2 sewer covers were home and second base. The 2 other bases were downspouts from the gutters of our neighbor's garage and our own garage. When we were old enough to get bikes, we would ride them to school 2 blocks away and to the store 3 blocks away. As an urban kid, that was pretty much my world. I don't think I was ever at a beach or a lake. However, adventure was about to happen. My friend John Dietrich, may he rest in peace, and I discovered there was an indoor swimming pool at Ridge Park. But the park was about 2.5 miles away from our neighborhood. That seemed about as far from the south side of Chicago as was Montana. Urban kids stayed in their own neighborhoods. However, we came up with an idea. How about asking our moms if we could ride our bikes to the pool, we asked. They both said yes, and off we went with our swimming suits wrapped up in towels. Can you imagine that today? 2 10-year-old kids riding bicycles 2.5 miles by themselves? No way. We were in that pool nearly every day during that summer. We had a blast each and every day. Now, one Saturday, while John and I were splashing around in the shallow end of the pool, my dad showed up. Parallel to the pool was a small spectator section. When I saw my dad, I jumped out of the pool to say hello. John, why are you and John in the shallow end of the pool? Well, we don't know how to swim. Well, come on down to the other end of the pool. You mean the deep end, I said? Yes, follow me. In the spectator section, my dad walked to the other end, and I followed him along the side of the pool. Okay, John, now jump in. Jump in? I can't. It's over my head. Jump in along the side of the pool, then come straight up and grab the top. Are you sure? Jump in. I'll watch out for you. I stared at the water, afraid of what might happen to me. Then all of a sudden, I jumped in. I could feel nothing under my feet. As a matter of fact, that was the first time in my life there was nothing under my feet. It was weird and scary. I shot right back up and grabbed the side of the pool. Length of that experience, no more than 5 seconds. I made it. I didn't drown. How was that, John? Dad asked. Weird. There was nothing under my feet. But I did it. Okay, now this time jump out about 3 feet. When you come up for air, hurry back to the side of the pool. I'll watch you. I popped back to the top of the water and scrambled as fast as I could to the side of the pool. Maybe 9 seconds. Then it was 6 feet, then 15 feet, and soon it was half the width of the pool, and by the end of the free swim hour, I made it all the way across to the other side. Each new adventure came with the same mantra from my father. I'll watch out for you. It was so neat that soon I forgot that nothing was under my feet and I felt safe. My dad kept reminding me, I'll watch out for you. When the lifeguards blew the whistle signaling the end of the swim period, I was wearing my swimsuit and an enormous smile. I went right over to where my dad was standing. It was only then that I realized that between the two of us was a chain link fence that ran from the floor to the ceiling between this pool and the spectator section. I never saw the fence. I only saw my dad. I never heard all the noise of the kids in the pool. I only heard my dad say, John, I'll watch out for you. If he wanted to help, protect, or save me, he couldn't. There was a fence that was a barrier. but there were no barriers between my dad and me. I saw his care and his protective love for me. Oh, I was a little scared at first, but when I heard him say, "I'll watch out for you," I knew he would take care of me. What fence? There is a word for that experience I learned later on: trust. In that pool with the fence between us, I had complete and total trust in my dad. He would watch me. He would watch over me. He would not let harm come my way. Oh, I had some fear and got scared on occasion, but I never lost trust in my dad. He would invite me to do things I thought I never could do and take me places I would never have gone on my own. He led, I followed. He was my dad. I was a very lucky kid, and for the next 15 years, I never doubted that trust. As an adult, I learned the antithesis of trust: suspicion. My world of trust has given way to a large world of suspicion. Suspicion seems to pervade almost every aspect of modern life. Suspicion runs high between races, religions, political parties, nations, media, politicians, the haves and the have-nots, and between generations. Too many of us can see the fence. Yet in the midst of my crazy adult world, I can still hear him say to me, "Jump in, I'll watch out for you." I did. He did too. I pray he still does. This particular episode brought to mind my very early memory in my life. I remember the very first prayer that my parents taught me. "Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light, to guard, to rule, to guide. Amen." Sometimes guardian angels look like dads.
That's incredibly moving. You had told me that story, but that's incredibly moving. Catherine's crying. I'm crying. John Cusick, you're a great writer. Yeah, we got about 8 minutes left to the Rick Hogan 2017 radio career. Father John Cusick just read that very moving piece about his dad and about trust. Here's another piece. This one written by a guy named Spencer Holst many years ago. "Once upon a time, there was a person who ended wars forever by murdering 42 Santa Clauses. It began about 10 days before Christmas when a Salvation Army Santa Claus was murdered in Midtown. A morning paper carried the story. The next day, five more Santa Clauses were murdered and hit the headlines of every paper in the country. Four of them were killed collecting money for the Salvation Army, and the fifth was stabbed in the toy department at Gimbel's. And people were outraged. They were indignant. They thought, what a monster, what a ghoul this guy must be. I mean, to spoil the children's Christmas by murdering Santa Claus. They weren't concerned over the actual lives of the men murdered. It was just what effect it would have on the children that seemed to upset everyone. So the next day, the town was filled with city and state police, FBI men, and even some naval intelligence officers, treasury agents, and Department of Justice officials, all of whom found excuses to get in on the case. And 10 more Santa Clauses were murdered, and the elusive killer wasn't caught. So the night all the working Santa Clauses held a secret meeting to decide what to do, they realized their responsibilities toward the children, but on the other hand, it seemed sort of foolish to go out and just get popped off by a maniac. And so one man, who was a brave man and who had no dependents, volunteered to go out the next day in costume under heavily armed guard. But his throat was slashed in his bed that night. And so the next day there were no Santa Clauses in the city, and people were sort of irritable and jumpy, and kids were crying, and it just didn't seem like Christmas without the Santa Clauses. But the next day, some daffy Hollywood chick, some actress who wanted publicity, came out dressed in a Mrs. Santa Claus costume. And the people and kids flocked around her, being the nearest thing to Santa Claus on the street, and she got a lot of publicity, and she wasn't killed. So the next day, several more prominent women came out, all dressed up like Mrs. Santa Claus, with white powdered hair and red skirts and pillows in their stomachs and Santa Claus hats, and they weren't killed. They decided maybe this maniac had stopped, so they sent out one Mr. Santa Claus as a test. But within an hour, his body was being taken to the hospital in an ambulance. There were 3 bullets in him. And so, Christmas that year was spent without, with Mrs. Santa Claus. And the next year, the same thing started to happen all over again. So they sent the women out immediately. The next year, the same thing happened, and the next, and the next, and the year after year, this patient and elusive maniac would kill any male dressed as Mr. Santa Claus until, finally, in the newspaper and advertisements and in people's minds, Santa Claus sort of dropped into the background, and Mrs. Santa Claus became the central figure. I mean, Santa Claus was still there. He made the toys up in the North Pole, and he was in charge of the elves. But it was Mrs. Santa Claus who rode the sleigh with the reindeer and slid down the chimney and gave away the presents and led the Christmas parade each year. And the funny part of it was women really seemed to enjoy being Mrs. Santa Claus. No one had to pay them, and it got to be such a fad that the streets around Christmas time were jammed with Mrs. Santa Clauses. And as time went by, they began making little alterations in the costume, first changing the shade of red and then experimenting with entirely different colors. So finally, each costume was unique and fantastic, beautiful, colorful, gorgeous. It became a real honor to lead the Christmas parade, and the kids loved it. Christmas had never been like this before with all these Mrs. Santa Clauses and all the excitement. But these kids, this new generation of children who grew up believing in Mrs. Santa Claus, were sort of different. Because, you see, Santa Claus, to the very young children, is a god. And about the time they stop believing in Santa Claus and start going to Sunday school and learning about a new god, and this new god doesn't just give them presents, he's sort of rough. But all their lives they yearn for the old childhood god, their Santa Claus god. Like, witness their prayers, they're saying, "Give me what I want." But this new generation of kids who grew up believing in Mrs. Santa Claus seemed to have a different attitude toward women. They began electing women to Congress, and they elected a woman president and women mayors, until pretty soon the country was entirely run by women. They were mainly concerned with things like food, and there was such much debate in Congress about various diets, and pretty soon even the poorest people had a lot to eat. And they were interested in houses, and soon there was no housing shortage. But there was one thing they wouldn't stand for. They just weren't going to do it. I mean, what possible political reason could make these women send their guys out to get killed? It was ridiculous. So, with their new political power and their financial power and the prestige of the United States, they forced and encouraged other countries to let women run things. So war was ended forever. Men went on doing just what they'd always done. They worked in factories and studied higher mathematics and gambled on horses and delivered the ice and argued about philosophy. But those arguments about philosophy didn't cause people to starve and kill each other. And pretty soon, all over the world, why, no one was hungry. Everyone had nice houses. There was no more war, and people began to be happy. You know, when you stop to think about it, a world revolution had taken place, and gee, 42 Santa Clauses? That's not too many people killed for a world revolution. But the murderer, or really the saint to whom humanity owed so much, who planned and carried out this almost bloodless revolution, was never caught and crucified, just went on living. No one ever discovered the identity of this saint, that is, I, except me. I know who the saint is. Oh, I have no proof. But you see, that's exactly why I'm so sure. Because there is only one person capable of this. There is only one person with the genius, the daring, the imagination, the courage, the love of people, the bloodlust and patience required to carry out this greatest of all deeds. That person is my little sister.
Wow.
That is just a great piece.
Yeah.
And it's a hopeful piece.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah.
Merry Christmas, Catherine. Father Cusick, knock him dead. You don't Rick, really say, you don't say knock him dead at your
church
Christmas sermon.
Well, I'm
day.
In that business, too.
No, but John, it was a real pleasure to have you on. It's, a, Rick, it's an always, ongoing pleasure to know you.
It's an honor. I mean, Christmas is such a special time of the year.
Yeah, and I like spending a part of it with you.
Well, I do, too. I mean,
we got to keep doing this
we
forever.
Could hang out And we have our own show. Well, like we said,
we have our own network.
It'll be at a tavern, and there'll be three stools. You're on one end, I'm at the other, and one in the middle for anybody.
Rich Labriola for a while, and the ghost of Mike Royko.
There
we'll do it right.